Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green at SaverLife.com and a scorching weekend. We got 89 today, 93 tomorrow, and really no rain in sight till Wednesday. So all that rain we had a few days ago, some money in the bank depending on your soils or whether you have containers. I recently made the mistake of a couple of containers that were under the eave of the house. And I kind of assumed they were getting the rain, and they weren't. So they started wilting and sending the message that they were way too dry. And they just hadn't gotten any of the rain that we've had because they were just slightly under the eave of the house. It protected them from the thunderstorms that rolled through a couple days ago. Fruition Seeds has been posting a lot of useful videos and things on Facebook. One of the more recent ones, Succession Sowing, guides for zones 3 to 8. They're based in Naples, which is, I don't have to ask Petra, Naples is probably zone 5 maybe, but up in the hills where they're located, it could be zone 4 actually. It can change pretty quickly as you get away from Canandaigua Lake, and if you're not that close to any other lakes, Rochester, we're zone 6 in general, maybe even zone 7 in some protected spots, kind of a microclimate in your yard. I have an area next to a neighbor's fence where it protects it from the wind. And I kind of think it's maybe even zone 7 there. And here in the city of Rochester, we are moderated by Lake Ontario. But as you move further away from the lakes, it drops quickly. Zone 5, generally south of the thruway, and then again, you move up in the hills. That's where the snow sticks earliest. If you've ever driven down through Prattsburg and Naples, everything will be clear and there'll be snow in the upper 500 or 1,000 feet or something, and then you go back down the hill and snow goes away. Not right now, of course. I mean, sort of spring and fall seasons, so the zones can change pretty quickly. Her guide covers quite a range, really. Zone 3 is more like the Adirondacks, northern Adirondacks, maybe. Zone 8 is more like Maryland. Anyway, you can find this at under Fruition Seeds on their Facebook page. There are some plants that you should sow the seeds 3 months before frost. And she says the final call is mid-July in Zone 5, which generally us in our area. The summer squash and cucumbers, you can put in another batch of those. And it makes sense for a couple of reasons. One, some of the borers get in at the squash. The cucumber and the squash are prone to powdery mildew, and so they don't necessarily last that long in the garden, and so you're better off putting in some at different times so that you kind of hedge your bets, because perhaps the second batch won't have as much damage from powdery mildew or the borers or other things that can damage them. So it's not too late to sow some of those seeds for summer squash, cucumbers, sweet corn and bush snap peas. Again, late plantings so that you'll have sweet corn in September, early October. Of course, you need a fair amount of space, although it can be kind of fun to have sweet corn growing just as a container plant. I did that a couple years ago, and it was cool. This sweet corn stalk was 8 feet tall, and I'm not sure we got the corn off of it. I have grown popcorn and got that has smaller ears. They mature sooner. And there's some cool looking popcorn. Again, this is intended you actually pop it on the cob after it's dried out. So just because you don't have a field to plant corn in doesn't mean you can't experiment with a little bit of it. A bunch of what she refers to as quick flowers, things that bloom fairly fast, calendula, cosmos, sunflowers, and then 2 months before frost, which for us, mid-August, a whole bunch of other things. And those include root crops like beets, carrots, kohlrabi, watermelon, radish. And she has a note that radishes and turnips will be at least spicy in shade with a lot of water. So you can grow some of these things with some shade. Not lots of shade, but some shade. Greens like broccoli, rapini, cabbage, fennel, head lettuce, dwarf peas, leeks, basil, dill. I would put that in now, actually, probably, just so it gets more warmth to grow in. And 1 month before frost, and that's so mid-September, which feels really late, some of the greens, the spinach, kale, Swiss chard, cold hardy lettuce, mesclun mix, cilantro, and radishes and turnips. So most people plant all their seeds in the spring, and that's great. It's like planting annuals. It's kind of like you're done for the season, done for the summer, and you just wait for the harvest. But you know, some of the things that maybe you harvested early, like in my case, lettuce and spinach, those you can, you've got empty space, perhaps. Now's the time to do some of the sowing, or things that you're about to harvest, and you can get the seeds from them. Some of the local garden centers carry their seeds. I think Bristol's Garden Center carries Fruition seeds. Go to fruitionseeds.com. They can mail them to you very quickly, and you can get those in the ground over the next couple of months. And they'll do beautifully in the fall weather. You know, the cool crops like the peas and the spinach and the lettuce, radishes, they'll just love cooler weather in September, October. That sounds kind of good right now with a 90-degree weekend coming up. So it's not too late to plant seeds. And these, again, you're sowing these directly in the ground. Follow whatever recommendations on how deep to plant the seeds, and expand your garden. Maybe add an area for these later summer and early fall plantings. So fruitionseeds.com, you get more details. They also have a ton of videos, a garden club that you can join. They are very active on social media, and a lot of instructional videos about growing and planting and insects and diseases. A great resource to have here in our area. And they're growing things that are intended for cold seasons. When you just order from any old seed company, you know, they're those seeds are not necessarily geared for our climate. Some of them will do fine. Many of them will do fine. But Fruition Seeds really specifically grows and produces seeds for this somewhat northern climate. And, you order some seeds now. You use some of them. Plant this fall, later this summer, and then save them over till springtime and plant some more in the spring. If you have some things growing in your garden that you don't know what they are, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. Send me a couple photos, and I'll try to identify these strange plants. I've got a mullein plant growing in my backyard, which normally the mullein just have one single stalk, but this one has access to so much moisture, so many nutrients right at the edge of the vegetable garden that it's got multiple flower stalks right now. And just it's a wildflower and velvety leaves. I mentioned it last week. I allow a couple of these to grow each year, and just, you know, they're kind of cool looking, really. And they don't seem to seed themselves everywhere. They're not going to drive you crazy with deep roots and seeds that will make your life miserable. Oh, we talked about some of those last weekend, an invasive species and things like wild onion that will, those will make your life, your gardening life a nightmare trying to get them out. So you can check the previous week's broadcast for some of that information. If you have some especially beautiful plants in your garden, love to see sort of your favorite plants. Send a couple photos. And Crocosmia has been, there have been a lot of people posting photos of that. There's the most common, one of the tallest of the Crocosmia is called Lucifer. It was some friends of ours were over, and one of them's a minister, and they loved the plant. I said, "You're welcome to have this, but it is named Lucifer. That is the varietal of this plant." And they were fine with that. They thought it was kind of funny. Perhaps called Lucifer because the orange red flowers, especially if the sun comes through them, you can put them in a vase, and that's they were in a vase inside, and the sun came in through the window and just lit up the flowers like they're burning orange flames, and they have a really cool structure of the buds that that form before they flower that kind of looks like, I don't remember, scales or something, and then the foliage has this, it's generally fairly upright, except that mine's in more growing shade. The trees are growing, so there's more and more shade, and so it tends to fall over more. But if it's upright and there's a little breeze out, these are like little airfoils, and they'll catch the breeze and kind of wobble a little bit, and you can hear the movement of the leaves. Not really whistling, but it's kind of intriguing. Several people have mentioned it to me. The Crocosmia kind of looks like a gladiola. It must be related. Gladiola leaf, and also kind of a gladiola tuber. If you dig one up, it's kind of strange. They seem to develop a new tuber each year, and they're sort of stacked on top of each other. It's a little bit odd root structure, but they don't have to be taken out of the ground like gladiolas do. The Crocosmia can stay in the ground. There's some smaller varieties, more half the size of Lucifer, but not as colorful. I have one that's kind of orange, yellow-orange, but kind of nondescript color. It's a Lucifer that's really just a striking color and a cool combination in flower arrangements with white hydrangeas. My Annabelle hydrangeas are blooming now. Maybe some Russian sage for some blue. The coneflowers are in full bloom right now. Lots of different ones. And if you just have the pink coneflowers, and maybe you've had them for years, you might be surprised at how many colors are now available, and the fact that the pink ones there now there's a much deeper pink available, and so I have some of both in my front yard, and it's striking how different they are. You know, the more original, ordinary, it's a wildflower, I think, the echinacea, the purple coneflower. It looks faded compared to these newer varieties that just look more vibrant, and they're just much better. So I'm encouraging the newer ones, slowly taking out some of the older ones. But there's white, there's orange, there's and sort of everything in between of these coneflowers. Sarah's Garden Center has a nice selection of those usually. And a lot of these are not as vigorous as the pink. So a friend of mine planted the pink one next to some of these other newer varieties, and the pink one's kind of overwhelming the others. So give them some space. But if you like coneflowers, and you should, because they bloom a long time, they're great for the bees, and the butterflies love coneflowers. The birds will come and get the seeds during the winter, the seed heads. And by the way, the seed heads make great eyes and noses and buttons for snowmen. So you got to plan ahead and have some. The black-eyed Susans are smaller seed heads, but also really good for some winter snowmaking, which on a 90-degree weekend just kind of makes you feel cooler thinking about that. One of the reasons I like having some black-eyed Susans and purple coneflowers in my yard. The Queen Anne's lace is blooming. I'll cut some of those seed heads off just so I don't end up with thousands of more of the Queen Anne's lace. But every summer I mention them as one of my favorite wildflowers. Just the activity of little tiny bees that come and visit the Queen Anne's lace, or similar type flowers, things like dill and fennel and coriander, umbelliferous flowers, lots of little tiny flowers. And if you stand around, sit next to them, bring a chair over, and just kind of observe the Queen Anne's lace, and it's kind of mixed in with the purple coneflower in my yard. It's kind of fascinating to see the types of insects that come to visit it. They're not insects you would normally notice. They're small, but they come in and they rest enough to get some nectar, and you can kind of see often very beneficial insects that you don't normally even realize are out there. So a few reasons to let a queen ants grow in the garden. You don't really want it to go to seed. So as you get some experience with it, you can kind of tell the way they roll up the flowers look before they open and then afterward, so you're not cutting the buds off, which of course would help them bloom more, but you're not going to be enjoying the flowers if you're... And do some deadheading when you're outside. Bring some scissors. You know, pruning shears are great, but they're heavy. They are not as... don't have as long a blade as scissors. And so scissors are a great way to do some deadheading of things, whether it's columbine, which is largely bloomed, but you can get secondary flowering from that. Deadheading golds, a variety of other in the garden. It will generally get you a lot more blooming. And you just, every morning go out and see what's happening in the garden. Take off a few dead flowers so that you're not, you do it once a month and you're going to end up with overwhelming tasks of trying to deadhead. And by then it'll be too late for some of the things. So just a little pair of scissors. Much better if you cut those flowers off. Zinnias. Flowers. We'll do a hanging on the dead flowers off, and you'll find the geranium. You'll find that that stalk, if you bend it the right way, and your scissors might be faster. And the look more and I think low key maintenance out plants or potential weeds or trees and shrubs. And be here when I used to do keep and the long hair the golf. Proof of that, but my sense is beetles. If you do this, well, they'll fly. Just enough to make it a little, you don't need a ton of dish soap in it, just a tiny drop. It sits on a floor. I've seen my, lots of other things. And you tap the flower a little bit. You don't have to touch. Get two at once. And sometimes there'll be four or five on a bud. Fall off into the water. Drown in there. You know, leave them in there for the tiny amount of soap that you used won't be an issue. Used go up it also kills them. It's just then what do you do with gasoline or kerosene? That was a long I remember people doing that when I was a kid and I don't know, soapy water will kill them almost as quickly. Soapy water will work. Sometimes no will be. If I that they're pretty things. Don't have to worry about little swallowtail butterflies. You know, try to you can knock them into soap water also. If you egg masses, to prevent and again, that will eliminate hundreds of future caterpillars. Give you an idea, you know, if they can give you, there's various in a forest I'm from tree to tree, very hard to keep in, but if it's a tree separated from other trees, keep them. Like Bricola has to find those egg masses. In the next hour, we're going to, in For Love of Food, we'll talk a little bit about 10best.com. You can vote for some Finger Lakes. And for the region, but details, tune in and check out For Love of Food, SilverLife.com. Stay cool this weekend, avoid the heat, and we'll be back next Saturday with naturallythegreen.com.